Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we have another show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science in general and just an assorted array of things. Some politics in tonight's show. Last week wasn't so, but tonight I'm thinking about some political issues. They aren't so much political as they have to do with the coming of tyranny. Survive. Of course, God in itself will always survive. The question is, will it survive here, both in the United States, if you're listening to me from that portion of the world, or other parts of the world already that are so affected by tyranny, and will it increase? Will it become worse? Are we going to ever be able to say that this planet is without it? That's really a big deal, because we can't become a sacred world if we're a tyrannical one. That is absolutely, positively what everybody, I think, with any understanding of metaphysics and physics and spirituality, has an understanding about. Now, let me explain what I mean by the word tyranny so that we have a common, we'll say, definition. Not everybody may believe in this type of tyranny, so it's important that, at least I'm on a page in which everybody else can at least understand, even if they don't agree with. What I mean by tyranny is the compelling and unjustified control by some over others. And this compelling and unjustified control is a means for those who are doing the controlling to gain power and to feel lower self, aggrandizement, and personal interest use of such power for their benefits at the cost of others. So that's what we're talking about by tyranny. Tyranny is the opposite of liberty. So when someone says, well, what's the opposite then of tyranny? The opposite of tyranny would be that a person would have liberty to be who they are, be in control of who they are, and when it's not harmful in any significant way towards anyone else. So people who want to control others for their sake, and they don't care about the liberty of others, they want to extinguish it, are acting in tyranny. Now, why is this against God? Because many people say, well, my God says it's okay to be tyrannical. It's against God because in order for there to be life that grows, that has a growth to not only itself, but also to the Creator or God, you may not believe this. So this is an important aspect of this. In order for that to occur, if you were to agree with that, then that would, this will make a lot more sense. Then life must be free. It must have free will, free collective choices. And those choices need to be absolute, except when the choices cause others to, in any significant way, lose their choices and cause harm. So that's why people who are not acting tyrannically, such as police people, etc., when they try to control someone, are doing so because they, if they are acting in the correct law, the laws of God, would be protecting the rights of others. So that's part of the process when you're looking at this big picture. Now, in our present system in the United States and in a number of other countries, there has been a movement in the direction of decreasing the ability for people to be in control of themselves, to have liberty, and to have individual civil rights. And these, the reason for this is that the propensity and the way it is inflicted upon populations, the propensity is for governments to grow and to grow in power and to restrict the rights of those that are governed for the power and control, and some many times the greed of those in control and power in the government and those with influence over the government. So we have a system that unfortunately is easily corrupted from one of being virtuous with limited government to government becoming tyrannical. And we have a constitution, and the founders of the United States that believed this was true, what I just said. And they tried to instrument within the constitution and in setting up a government that would battle this problem. They also noted that no matter how well you construct a few pages of a document, and no matter how well you set some kind of, we'll say, beginning methods of correct government. Yeah, it wasn't always perfect even in the beginning, but it was far better than it is today. That it can be easily corrupted by forces of darkness and of evil, and people can be duped. The public can be duped. Now, why is that the case? Because the choice of words and the desire to get something for nothing and the needs to have safety and someone sometimes making decisions for one rather than one taking the responsibility of those decisions, those come together in a confluence of empowering the government to take over. The people don't do this on a conscious level, and a government that is tyrannical seldom does it in an obvious manner. They use these fears that the public have to control and to legislate, or worse, to dictate authorities that eventually removes the rights of people and the control of the people over themselves. This is unfortunate but true, because it is still the nature of humanity to give up most of the time some level of control over themselves and liberty for what they perceive to be some degree of safety and someone else making decisions that they have fears to make themselves. They haven't grown up, you could say, in some ways. It's like we're functioning from a child's mind. Now, how does God enter into all this? God, if we assume, and not everybody will assume this, that God is structured and created itself the way I have suggested in this show and other shows, and that it really seeks to have free will for life. Now, the free will has to still function within God's own laws of the universe, which he created before there was life. But those laws aren't too much different from the laws that a just government would run. As a matter of fact, they're very similar. And so there's no real difference. Then how come and how can God survive if mankind and humankind in this world decides to be tyrannical and has governments that function in such a way? And the answer is this. The examples that are set forth among the governments that are tyrannical are there so that we can find our way back to God. You know, that sounds weird. But these destructive elements are so terrible to the growth of a civilization, the growth of life in a country, in a world, that they inevitably bring great destruction and great suffering. And people do oftentimes have some rebellions, which are oftentimes dealt with cruelly and destructively by the powers. And so this is a way of showing that tyranny is associated with and in step with, step by step, with the lack of God. And so it's demonstrated to us time and time again. And yet, as an example, here in the United States, we have about a third or more of the population right now, possibly 40%, who think that the present tyrannical rulings and changes that are taking place are good for us. It's good to tell us what we can and can't eat. It's great to tell us what kind of health care we should have, when we should die or not, and how we should, and tell us all kinds of things, like what kinds of things we can learn in school, what kind of things should be thrown away because they don't support the tyrannical system, and eventually that a God that supports freedom of choice and freedom of will and liberty is not their God. And so we can't eventually have that God for ourselves. These things are happening, but yet about maybe 40% of the population want it to happen. They may call themselves progressives, socialists, communists. They may call themselves super liberals, new liberals, maybe just liberals. And they may be convinced that they're right, because some of the things that they seek are for some degree of personal freedom. As an example, the right for a woman to have an abortion seems like inappropriate freedom. And these folks sometimes support that. The right to have and smoke marijuana, they feel, is an appropriate freedom. And certain other drugs may be included, maybe all drugs. So all these kinds of freedoms that they propose, they use as a counter level kind of expression. Are some of these things true freedoms that people should have? Possibly. But the real issue here isn't a question of whether or not you grant freedoms to some people. It's whether you withhold a majority of freedoms from most people. That's the problem with tyranny. So don't get confused by these issues. I don't think that I am speaking in a hypocritical way in stating that freedoms in general, even those that I may not personally like, that others have, should not be protected. If we look at all of the ways in which the present government is moved in 2 years in the United States to dampen freedoms, they're huge. They're too big almost to comprehend. The last one, and the one that produced the show tonight, has to do with the FDA claiming that IV vitamin C and a bunch of other nutraceuticals and nutrients are new drugs, and they're banned. What does that mean? Well, that means unless someone can make billions of dollars in patenting those things, and they can't be patented because they have been in the public sector for literally over a century in some cases, and about a century in others, and many decades in still others. That's a long time. And they weren't covered in a thing called the DSHEA Act, which only covers things you swallow. But nobody thought they needed to be protected from the FDA's influence because they have been done for so many decades of time and used by physicians now that no one suspected that this was going to happen, except, if you recall, I did, and a few others. Now, this just happened in the last couple days. This banning is the beginning of an onslaught against anything and everything that the FDA either has a right to or doesn't have a right to tell people what to do, including what we can eat. Because they've been given increased powers over food. I realize sometimes we have food emergencies. We have problems. And that's probably because in some sectors, the FDA really doesn't care about that stuff. They really care about having control and being supported by and supporting the pharmaceutical industry. These people are so in bed with the pharmaceutical industry, you can't really tell the difference between the two. And they are also being supported by the present administration, who is seeking to gain power over the entire population. They want a thing called Codex, which will eliminate even supplements virtually in every way. And in order to get that, they're going to need to probably change the DSHEA Act, but maybe not. They can probably do it the sidestep way with just using regulatory agencies, specifically the FDA and the FTC. The danger that we are facing is ominous and very large, huge. And most people just aren't aware of it. We're talking about the economy and the terrible things Obama did about this or that and his administration. But it's like all a smokescreen. We're not seeing a guy who is a self-proclaimed socialist and communist. He proclaimed himself that, and he's never retracted. Never said, I'm not this. Now, you got to ask yourself, if someone says, I am this, and they're not going around and say, whoops, I made a mistake, 15 years ago when I wrote that, I didn't mean it. I've really come to realize how important free markets and free enterprise are, and they're part of they're part of our heritage. They're part of the Constitution. Without them, you can't have freedom at all. Our country is only a step or a step and a half behind Hugo Chavez. In some ways, as he put it, Hugo Chavez, we're ahead of him. He's laughing his whatever off because he realizes that he's in sync with the most powerful country on earth. And he's also in bed with some of the other very powerful countries who aren't necessarily the most friendly people to us. But Russia is still semi-communistic, and certainly a socialist. And they just took over a significant portion of British Petroleum oil. What do you think that's going to do? Now, when you start looking at this, and you start understanding the implications, the frightening thing is that there's a worldwide movement about for tyranny. It's not just in the United States. But when the United States goes, which it might within the next few years, the whole country, the whole world, is finished. There's not going to be another country that comes forward and says, now, wait a second, guys. You guys have all gone off the cliff here. How does God survive if the majority of the world is living in tyranny? If virtually everyone is living in tyranny, how can God survive? Well, God will always survive in the long run, but the planet Earth, the one we live on, may not. I'm not a doom and gloomer, and I don't think that December 21st, 2012 is the end of the world. It's the end of a cycle. And some of the very worst things that are happening right now are being encouraged by this ending cycle. But it doesn't also mean that because it's, the cycle's ending, that tyranny will end. Tyranny can be the exact production of such a climax in a cycle, of the third ray going out and the fourth ray coming in, etc. This could be the moment of decision. It's not going to be exactly on any day, but it is going to take place over certainly a decade. So by the time we move into the late teens and the 20s, we could be living in a completely tyrannical society. Something akin to Red China, and maybe worse. Now, if you would rather live in Red China, and that is your true sentiment, and you call yourself a progressive, socialist, communist, whatever, why not just move there? You know, that isn't such a terrible thing for people who really want that. But for people who want to take the existing system in the United States and turn it into that, and call it national capitalism, when it is a form of extremely rigid communistic socialism, then that's what we should be aware of, and we should stop trying to call it something else. I think it's appropriate that people have the choice to be where they want to be. But to subvert this country into Red China is a terrible thing. And there's worse examples in Red China as far as tyranny. Red China is tyranny on a scale that nobody, no country since Rome, has been able to achieve. So this is probably the scariest moment as far as the size issue is concerned. There are so many other countries that have tyranny in them, and much worse in some circumstances. It's frightening. We today are living in this test. The test is not about God, but it's about whether Earth will remain a planet that has any resemblance to a godly world in it. If it doesn't, it's my understanding that sometime in the not-too-distant future, we, Earth, will be destroyed simply because we're an experiment, a grand experiment, to see how fast we can develop a world with human beings on it and develop a world with life that finds God and grows virtuously, the fastest possible, and reaches a point where evil can be fought on the mental level and defeated. Unfortunately, it's been determined that if the world doesn't do it really fast, by the time humanity develops itself monastically, mentally, evil usually has too strong of a hold over the world and destroys that world, or it has to be destroyed. This is a problem. We were in the experiment to see if we could beat the race. If we lose, which we'll know within the next, really, decade, about a decade, then the outcome might be that we eventually will be destroyed, not immediately, maybe by the end of this century. Because there's always the possibility of the last moment something changing, but things will go as long as those that are greater than us in consciousness decided best to do so. And truly, this would be a decision on a God scale, godly scale. You don't get rid of planets just because you wake up one day and say, I think it's time for the planet to go. So we are in the midst of this struggle, and tyranny is the symptom that we have to observe that will tell us how sick or well we are and whether we're going to succeed in this grand experiment or in some awful way fail. Tyranny is the barometer. And that's why it's tonight's show. I know that some people say, well, what about this or that? Well, if you have tyranny, you don't have to worry about this or that. Because eventually, tyranny is always, 100% of the time, destructive. It's destructive to every country, which may take centuries for it to work out to the level of destruction, especially in the past. Today, it only takes decades for most countries to destroy themselves for tyranny. But when enough countries collectively become tyrannical, then we're talking about a worldwide event. It may destroy all human life, and further may destroy all life on Earth. So, what can we do to change this? Because we're looking at a situation that is pretty darn bad. The barometer for tyranny is moving quickly in the wrong direction. The leading country that is supposed to be for liberty is giving up liberty faster than just about any place else on Earth. Now that is a frightening prospect. And that is what is taking place. One of the things that feeds tyranny is corruption, which I mentioned earlier tonight. Corruption is fueled by greed and a sense of purpose needed by people with poorly constructed understandings of themselves and God. Then people seek power instead of understanding because they don't have much understanding. And they replace the feeling of love with the feeling of power. They seek material things and material wealth in place of spiritual life and spiritual connections and growing and creatively growing more of God. They want to grow more power and of themselves. Corruption is a major problem. It is epidemic and has been in U.S. government, and it is found throughout, although selectively, the United States in state and local governments everywhere. There are some few places that have absolutely no corruption. That's wonderful. But if you look throughout the country, you can't find a state without it. And it's hard to find most sub-governments like counties, the etc. They don't have some as well. Some cities are plagued by corruption. Fewer today than in times past, but that can quickly reverse with the present national system being as corrupt as it is. There was corruption under the prior president, Bush, and the prior president before that, Clinton. And so we've had corruption going on for a very long time. How do we stop corruption in government? There are several things I'm going to suggest that you may have heard me say or mention before. But these things are very important. On a short-term basis, we need to stop regulatory agencies from having superpowers. They need to have tremendous oversights by Congress and always have their powers extremely limited. Congress has to become more responsible. But to do that, you've got to have elected officials who aren't corrupt, or otherwise they will support corrupt, unelected officials. So how do you do that? I suggest term limits. 3 terms, possibly. These are just suggestions. For someone entering into the Congress. 2 terms for someone in the Senate. And leave the presidency where it is, or 2 terms. Although I would even be interested in seeing about a single-term presidency. But we'll say 2 terms for president. And those terms should, in my opinion, be held to no more than an X number of terms so that you can't have someone go through the representative phase, do 3 there, and then 2 in the Senate, and then go on to be president for 2 terms. I think that that should be limited as well. Maybe you can do 2 out of the 3. So you can have 3 terms as representative, but then you could either run for president or you can run for Congress, and if you are successful in either, that limits you from doing the reverse. And in addition, anyone who goes through that part of the system can never be appointed to the federal court system. Wow. What else do I suggest? I suggest that there be much more attention paid to the federal constitution and that it be followed exactly, with oversight by Congress on an annual basis for any politician or regulator who breaks it. And all the names of all the people who break it, as they're breaking the Constitution, those people are given a warning to see if they change or if they do something really severe on earth, they're just thrown out of office. Yes. I believe a president who says, I'm here to protect and defend the Constitution and uphold it, that is doing things that's destructive to it, can be held and found to have broken their oath of office. We need to be looking at this whole system as an extremely temporary system. There's no such thing as career politicians. And anyone who attempts to bribe a politician or to influence a politician, except through words, should be found guilty of a crime. We already have this on the books, we're just not observing it. And that politician, if they don't report it, should be thrown out of office. Now, that part's definitely not on the books. Responsibility should go in both directions. immediate sense, we can make some very big differences. But you could say, well, how immediate is to change the Constitution to put term limits in? Well, I really think that if it were put before the people, and there's two ways to do this. One is by starting with the state governments, and the other one is starting with the Congress. But either way, I believe that we would get the majority necessary to pass such an amendment. I know that's hard to believe, but I think that it's true. Now, the politicians wouldn't vote for it, and maybe their friends and families would. But, you know, they're pretty much in the minority, at least it's so far. So there's a medium-term answer. The short term is to limit regulators and to put pressure on the politicians that we have to do something about the severe problems we're having right now. But the medium-term solution is to change, amend the Constitution to do this one thing. It will stop a lot of the nonsense. It really will. What are some of the other things we can do? Well, quickly, before we go to break, we can, if we choose to, have elections that are supported by public funds. Some states do this already. So people can accept more and more public monies. And our present election system does allow for this, but not with sufficient amounts of money for them to survive, usually winning. So we should have a parity system and make it so that people can't win just by buying votes. That would be helpful. If we did it with the present system in place, we would have to just change numbers, and that wouldn't be all that hard to do. So it is something that we should consider in this situation. Well, there's a lot of other things I want to talk about as far as what we can do in an immediate sense. And then I want to talk about the general way we have to change the way we think and feel. And that's a lot different than just the nuts and bolts of what I just discussed. So we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes and continue on with this topic.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlouer.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about the coming of tyranny and can God survive? And let me continue on now. We're talking a bit about corruption, but this time I want to say it more from the standpoint of what evil is. When we talk about corruption, it isn't just someone feeling greedy and like wanting more power. As people become corrupt, they can become infected, if you want to call it, by the group soul of evil and lose contact with their own soul, eventually maybe have no contact with their soul, and become ensouled by group evil. This process is it's specialized. It's been designed by evil to work on a large scale and for countries. That's why when we see countries like Venezuela or, well, it doesn't matter, Iran or Syria or as it took place in Lebanon in the last decade, get taken over by darkness and eventually evil, there's a similarity in the process, especially when you end up with an authoritarian dictator. That's when you know you've got the evil process going. And the evil is using a system that has been used for thousands and thousands of years. Part of that system includes a mental process of propaganda that has only been available to evil for the last couple hundred years. So when we look at the methodology, the first is to get people to become afraid, usually of some external kind of bad things. It could be environmental. They could be warlike coming from other countries. They could be internal coming from insurrections and some type of public disorganized. Chaos. They can be from substances and drugs and things that supposedly are bad. They can come from any source, but the main point is that the general population becomes fearful and seeks some source of power, which is usually the government, and control, to take over. Instead of them being the ultimate responsible parties and finding local ways of dealing with some things, they seek the government. So evil says, well, this is a good way for us to take over. Evil also does other things. Every time there is one of these events or crises, evil says, hey, let's use the event or crisis to promote more power for the government, more control, remove more liberties, and increase tyranny. Because tyranny is evil's most effective weapon. Tyranny encompasses power and fear, and it uses what humans, for a long time in an emotional sense, misguidedly followed, which was, unfortunately, authority. That comes from our young years when we have parents, and we revert to that when we don't have a strong enough self-structure. So the weak-selved people, and if you get a large number of weak-selved people, then they are open to the adoption of tyranny. Another thing that evil does is it tries to create squalor and poverty write entrepreneurship and free enterprise, because those build prosperity. And it does this because it recognizes, and you have to follow this now, I said it a minute ago, it recognizes that when people don't have a correct education, it is a strong background about God and about themselves connected to God, an individual relationship, you might say, with God, and they don't have the ability economically to support themselves very well, and they are dependent upon handouts from the government, then they are ripe for the picking of tyranny. It's easier to get tyranny down the throats of those people and to bring them into the darkness than those who are opposite. So governments that increase poverty, governments that decrease entrepreneurship and free markets and free business and small business, governments that get rid of free minds and free industry, they make it almost impossible through regulation to create almost anything, that create a oneness, a one-sided nature to every kind of idea. There's only one solution, the government solution. These governments are in this plan of evil. And that's why I bring up the word progressives, because they fit into this 100%. So you need to be understanding of what I'm referring to when I'm talking about the coming of tyranny. Tyranny is evil's main sword. And with it, it can destroy the world. Okay, so what about then on a local or county level or state level? Evil there is almost always in its training to become evil in a national, in a world sense. So you've got to stop it at those levels, or it will grow rapidly from a smaller scale to a larger within a very short time. Someone that is tyrannical in a state or county can easily move into a national role within a matter of years. So the danger here is that evil uses these smaller venues to grow itself and become good at gaining power and control and authority, and then use it on a wider scale. The group that I'm a member of, the spiritual group I'm a member of, has been involved in fighting evil within the state of Arizona and a certain county. And we're about, we think, to deliver some really serious blows to this evil. But the point is that we may not succeed. And even if we do, this has to be repeated hundreds to thousands of times throughout this country, the United States, and the rest of the world, tens of thousands of times, for people to get a handle on it. Now, we're doing it because we think that's what we're supposed to do. But everybody needs to take some responsibility for tyranny, wherever and however it is taking place, and to get involved. Like this business about the vitamin C. Look it up for yourself. Read all sides of the issue. The FDA's included. I think you conclude that they are overstepping their powers and bonds. What they want to do is they want to enhance their ability to control rather than to provide any service at all to anyone. It just removes freedom and liberty from people who need these treatments and who have a right to choose them even if they don't need them. You see? Isn't that the point? If someone wants to take vitamin C intravenously or vitamin B1 or whatever, do they have a right to them? Of course. Why not? does any regulatory body or government have a right to tell us what to do most of the time? And the answer is no. It's in our Constitution. Read it. All right. So we have then the question of, okay, corruption needs to be fought. It needs to be fought diligently and with great vigor because it doesn't go down easy. You could get hurt in the process. You could be destroyed in the process. But wouldn't you rather live your life in a way that when you look back at it, and, well, I fought to heck against evil and it got me in the end, but others will come behind me and finish the job, than to be sitting somewhere in the next world and saying, I didn't do anything. I was afraid, and it was a life pretty much of not much value. And I discouraged other people from doing things because of my own fears. That is a terrible legacy. Karmically, it has some bad consequences as well. I know it's difficult. We all chose to be in this world. We all chose, our souls did, to come to Earth and to be part of this grand experiment. Our souls knew how tough it was going to be. We, as humans, can discover this in ourselves and live a life fearlessly with great heroism and nobility. Or we can cower, cutting ourselves off from our souls, and not realize that we chose to come here, and this is what we're here to do. It really is. Now, we should fight in ways that does not lead to violence or to some type of severe forms of illegality. We should fight within the system, and we should use those parts of the system that allow us to become able to fight. Now, if you're living in a country like Iran, where that's not possible, then violence may be an unfortunate option. If that is your lot, and if you can hear my voice, which I doubt, then I could tell you that rather than sleep sheep to the slaughter, fight as much as you can in whatever ways you can for liberty. For those of you in the U.S. who doubt what I just said as being a good recommendation, my suggestion is you look back to the Revolutionary War and ask yourself what that was about. Now, does that give people the right to just do any kind of criminal act to someone they think they don't like? No. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about people who collectively work together to form some kind of resistance to tyranny. In those cases, anything is justified as long as it is done for the most amount of good and its purpose is for that. Now, if you just do it out of revenge or because you can, that's not right. Even the life of an evil person is still a life, and you don't wantonly want to destroy that life if you find some other means of preventing it from exercising tyranny. And if that's a practical solution for you. How does God survive in a world where people are in conflict? How does God survive in a world where wars are more common than peace? Where tyranny is constantly being egged on by evil, and where good versus evil is a way of life. for large numbers of the population. How does God survive? One of the ways is through both religion and education. Right now, our educational system is under attack, again, by the people who want power, trying to control the textbooks and this and that. All parts of history, all parts of human thought should be openly available and discussed and explored in anyone's education. Good, the bad, the ugly, should all be seen and understood and debated and given fair, open discussion. The more important thing is not what people know, but how much do they think, and finally, and the most importantly, how much do they understand about what they thought and what they think they know or don't. This is a huge difference in an educational model, and one that can overcome tyranny. Now, should God be eliminated from the educational model? No. God shouldn't be eliminated, but all forms of understanding of God should be discussed openly, with no one way of looking at God, or even atheism, non-God, all forms available to be thought about and compared and discussed. Our present educational model in public schools is you eliminate God. Then you don't have to worry about having an equal discussion. Don't confuse the minds of young people with God, or even being an atheist. Let's not confuse them. Whoever came up with that model, huh? This is, again, mostly progressive ideas, by the way, to drive God out of the schools. In looking at how we can move in a direction that gets rid of tyranny, a population which thinks and knows itself, knows the foundation of themselves, which is liberty, freedom of choices. And they understand this. They truly recognize the critical nature and importance of having liberty. And they cherish it above all other things. That comes from free and open and well-taught education. Now, what happens when a lot of teachers are part of a organization that doesn't believe this? That's a problem. Because teachers are the ones entrusted to make sure that this is part of the educational system. So we have conflict. My suggestion, as I have suggested before, is if you have children, don't put them in a system with teachers who are going to ignore the most important elements of education. It's insane. You can't say, well, they're just going to teach what's in the textbook and that's okay. No, they're not. And anyway, the textbooks have holes in them. So you may have to spend more time and money and resources to educate your children in other ways than through public education. Or luckily, if you have alternative schools in the public school system, charter schools as an example, that may be the way to go. If you can't find one that promotes the kinds of education you want, start one with other parents. There's so much that can be done that we still have available today in the United States and in some other countries, but not a lot. Education is critical if we're going to come out of this. And religion is critical in the sense that religion needs to be not politicized. We need to allow people to find their own ways of relating to God through whatever religion they choose, and not have it politicized in any particular way. It's politicizing religion to say that you can't say bad things about some of the ways in which certain religions practice certain ideas. Well, why not? Why can't we say we don't like that idea? Well, it's not politically correct. You're attacking the religion. You're attacking some part of the religion, possibly. No religion is perfect. And this is important to understand. Without there being perfection in religion, which is man-made, so we're not going to find it, we can't assume that everything about any religion is just perfect. It's not. It's okay for us to bring these things up. It's okay to criticize some elements of religion, even though others may find those elements to be sacred to themselves. It's all right. That's part of free speech. It's also part of free thinking. It doesn't mean that you're attacking the person per se, unless they want to see it that way. And of course, you should never attack the person. The attack should be about whatever custom or part of religion we think is inappropriate or is good. Now, individual acts that people do under the guise of religion certainly can be attacked. People might get arrested for some of them. You believe it's okay to kill a family member for honor's sake? Well, we call that murder. So you see, we need to be as open-minded and seek liberty in all ways. In all ways. Not just about things that deal with government. How we live on a daily basis will eventually be reflected in how we're governed. If we improve the ways we live by being more virtuous, more loving, more charitable, more helpful towards others, if we look to the ways of light and move in those directions, then we may be able to overcome the coming tyranny. Let's have a little rest at this point. I want to mention that last week, I guess I forgot to say, where you can get Vai Chi Jizek at. So I'll say it right at the beginning. If you have some pain issues, get yourself some Vai Chi Jizek, and you can get it at www.buygesic.com. Buygesic.com. You can get it for $20 a bottle for 30 count and $50 a bottle for 100 count. And initially you use a lot of pills, you can. But as you use it more often, you use much less. It's somewhat explained on the bottom. But the thing that it isn't explained is, in my opinion, you're getting better, and you don't need as much. And you get a little better so fast, with whatever may be bottom, that within days, you're cutting way back on the amount you need to take to get rid of the pain. It's just that simple. So we tell you to take a lot to begin with, and then to take less as you're using it. It doesn't work, absolutely works. It's great stuff. I use it. I know a lot of people that use it. It's very effective. And it gets rid of most kinds of pain. And it works way better than the stuff you buy that are drugs over the counter. Lasts longer, usually two times or more longer. And it just does a way better job. And you don't have any side effects from it. Whereas that other stuff, you usually have some kind of side effects. So it's really good. And if you're using drugs that are very powerful, prescription or controlled substances, then this is a natural substitute. You just may need to take a huge amount for a number of days or even weeks to be able to deal with both having used a very powerful say, narcotic or narcotics, and then at the same time coming off of those things, you know. So that's really tough. And of course, you should be under a doctor's care if you're doing something like that. But nonetheless, the Fichi Jizik can be a lifesaver under those circumstances if done consistently and for a long enough period of time. Okay, so hopefully you'll give it a try. The number, phone number, if you want that, are you ready? Hopefully. 602-431-5162. Again, 602-431-5762. Fichi Jizik, the best herbal analgesic you can find. That's it. And it's guaranteed. If it doesn't work for you, don't like it, whatever, then you get your money back. That's it. Okay. If you would like, and if you're in the Phoenix area and you'd like to get a massage, I've been going to Amy Better, B-E-T-T-E-R. She's a licensed massage therapist. And you can get a hold of her through this phone number, 480-292-0847. I think she does some great massages, really. I'm going to her for a number of months now, and I think she's just really, really good at what she does. And tell her that you heard about it on the show. She's not paying for me to say this, but I'm just saying it because I think she does a great job, and I'd like other people to know about it. Because sometimes I've gone to some people who claim to be giving decent massages, and they haven't really done the greatest job for me. She's done a great job, and she's doing so with several other people I know, and they all swear by her. So, one more time, 480-292-0847. Give her a call, Amy. A massage therapist. Okay. If you haven't tried Soul Balance, give it a try too, by the way. Soul Balance allows the energies in your body using the science of Fai Chi. It's still the science of Fai Chi, but it isn't like Jizik, because Soul Balance allows the energies to balance in a lot of centers that get ill and give people major illnesses. Soul Balance can regulate that and help someone to feel better in general. It affects the nervous system. That's not the physical part of the body. It affects the, we'll call it, the electromagnetic spiritual part of us. And so we can consider it like a spiritual food of sorts. And it's a great thing to try. You can get Soul Balance. Let me see. I'll tell you how to do that. By contacting. I'll get it in a second here. It's somewhere around. Here it is. I got so many papers on this desk. Oh, I don't really see where we can get Soul Balance from. But you can get Soul Balance if you call probably this number. For Forever Young products. And that's Ideal Cell Absorption, Resveratrol, That's another product that's sold that we are connected with. And you can get it by calling 800-777-7850. Give us a call if you're interested in Soul Balance or Ideal Self-Absorption Resveratrol, either for humans or for your pets. It has anti-OX-20 rosehip extract included in it, which is the reason that it works, because resveratrol very quickly oxidizes, even before it's absorbed into your system, unless you combine it with the very, very strong antioxidants. The strongest, in this case, is the anti-OX-20. Okay, 800-777-7850. Let me get back to what I was talking about now in tonight's show. Tyranny is the main way that evil takes over in large sections of people. It is a means or a process that is both emotional and mental. The mental part is propaganda. Lies that are created against usually some people and towards and for the benefit of those who are corrupt and those who are seeking power and control. This methodology was perfected during the last century, starting in the United States, strangely enough, with Woodrow Wilson during his presidency, and then moving into Germany, and we know how the Nazis used it. The thing that's most dangerous about this kind of method that evil employs is that it can take years, even decades, to change people emotionally. But mentally, you can change people in days, weeks, or months. It's just much faster. Why is it faster? Because the mental body is presently controlling more and more people than their astral bodies. And the mental body absorbs information and changes much more rapidly than the astral body. It takes a long time to change the way people feel. It takes very little time to change how they think. Now you could say, well, what if they think and feel differently? Well, that happens in the beginning of propaganda. But the process is insidious. And once you've got the mental bodies of people thinking along the propaganda, it may take years for the process to complete itself, but the people at least are not obstructing the evil from doing what it wants to do. They go along with it. They may not completely buy it. The mental is the way to accelerate the process through egotism and arrogance of indoctrinating people into various forms of evil and gaining control and taking liberties from people and gaining control over them and eventually enacting tyranny. Oftentimes, lies are the primary instrument of use. And the lies are particularly conceived and done to destroy all opposition to the tyranny. So the people that are trying to prevent the tyranny now become the victims of these lies, and eventually they lose all their credibility, and then they can't prevent the tyranny any longer. That's the process that's employed. You've seen it many times. You may not have known it for what it was. But when it's happening, be aware. Those that are on the side of lies, those who cannot support what they say by actual factual events, and today we can record most of these events that can be shown over and over again, those are the people, the ones who are promoting these, are the ones who are evil. Oh, that's a tough thing to consider. That's the truth. And if we don't see evil, then we can't fight it. Now, let me tell you something about tyranny from the standpoint of what people do see and understand. The reason tyranny gets away, people get away with tyrannies, I should say, is because most people are afraid of evil. They're so terrified by evil that they don't want to know it exists. They invent almost infinite numbers of reasons of why someone who is functioning in evil is really not. Oh, they just had a bad life, bad family, problems with this or that. They didn't have the opportunities. But they fail to realize that the people who are conducting themselves in tyranny are sometimes the best educated, the wealthiest, the most influential, the most privileged of people in a country. How do you claim that those people just had a bad life and they missed all the opportunities of the rest of us? Well, if they did, they could certainly go back and get some of them redone because they're sometimes the richest people in the country. And they certainly have influence over so many others. Come on, wake up. Realize that we're actually afraid of evil. Now, why are people afraid of evil? Because it terrifies us to believe that somehow there's a force out there that is opposing God and sometimes appears to be winning. We have a need, whether we believe in God or not, to believe that there's a force of good that somehow can win. And if you don't have that belief because you see evil for what it is, which is a very powerful force that sometimes wins against the forces of good, then you're terrified. You say, well, what can I do then? If it can beat God, how could it not beat me? Well, collectively, we all are part of God, and we can be victorious, but we have to fight together. One person alone seldom wins against evil. It takes several and more sometimes than just that to win against evil. And it's a long and arduous process, one that can cost you everything, including your own life. But it's darn well worth it, because as those who can see evil and are not so terrified by it can fight it, then they can fight tyranny. And they can reverse the tyranny that's in the world. So I would like you to open your minds and your hearts to the tyranny that is around us and the evil that is behind us. And do everything you can, whenever you can. Write letters, talk with others, communicate together. To do something now, not later, now. Join us if you want. Let us know. If you want to support some of the things we're involved in, if you want any help in anything you're involved in, contact us. We're here. The spiritual group I'm part of, I'm a member of, we want to make this a better world. We want the light to shine through, God's mind, God's thought, to be expressed, a spirit in everything. We want to drive out corruption and tyranny. And make this a place of freedom and liberty, as it was intended to be, better than ever before. I can foresee such a world, but it's going to require tremendous efforts for us to be able to do this, because evil has become entrenched. This progressivism has existed about 100 years as an actual party, in about 130 to 40 years as a represented philosophy and idea. This really started mostly by people who considered themselves to be socialists. And for people not infected by progressivism, because it's still part, usually, of a democracy, if you're right now involved with terrible tyranny beyond that, you're actually in some type of Marxist situation, or if you're not, you're in just an authoritarian dictatorship. If these things are happening to you, get together with others and find those who have the backbone and the wisdom and the abilities to see evil and work together. Use everything you have at your disposal, because even if you lose, as far as the power control issue and maybe your life, you ultimately win by taking a lot of the resources away from those that are trying to control others. The more their resources are diminished by those who stand up to them, the weaker they become. And the more someone else may succeed where you have failed, at least failed in the sense of doing everything you wanted to do. It's not a failure. Stand up to evil and lose. It's a failure to not stand up at all and to lose. That is a failure. Now, we need to use our own resources in ways that are as intelligent as possible. Never squander whatever you can do. Do the largest, greatest amount possible to overcome tyranny and to bring in light. Don't go halfway and say, well, I could have done more, but, you know, I wanted this or that, and I wanted not to have to risk this or that. That's not a solution. And those attempts seldom are successful. The attempts that are most successful are the ones that require truly a brave, full heart and mind, a person who is really totally committed, even though they have and know of the possibility of losing. They know it could happen. And they don't do things that are purely suicidal, just for the sake of suicide. They may do some things that are suicidal to save others. That's a great hero. And we need heroes. I'm not suggesting everybody be a hero. But the ones who are expose even more the darkness. And they seriously weaken evil. So tyranny is a weapon of evil. It's the single strongest weapon that evil has on a large scale against larger groups of people. It's repeatedly almost the same from centuries and even millennia ago. Read history and look at how tyranny has been imposed going back in time thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, how similar kinds of tyrannies are being created today. It is true that the mental, and particularly the propaganda factors, were much less. Society couldn't support such high levels of propaganda because there was no means of communication that was technologically advanced enough to allow it to take place. Technology and the mental development of humanity was necessary for propaganda to fully take hold. That's why it's only been around a couple hundred years. Before that, it couldn't be used. You could get on the radio and talk. You could you couldn't get it on the TV and tell anybody about anything, because there weren't any such things. I think we have a caller online. Hi, caller.
Hi, Niles. This is Herb calling from Wilmington, Delaware again.
Hi, Herb.
Listening
how are you doing?
To you tonight. Getting depressed. talk about the experiment with the planet Earth and to overcome evil. And any observant person today, just looking at the daily newspaper, just looks like the trajectory is not in a favorable direction at the moment.
It is not. It is not. But that
situation
doesn't mean
in our
change.
Country is certainly important. But I think it's trivial compared to some of the other things that are going on in other countries. I think, in terms of Islamists, a billion and a half people who are living essentially under a tyrannical situation. And I don't see how you can, if we could convert them to maybe the Sufi form of Islam, you know, that would be a saving grace, but I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetime. How do you handle that situation, really?
Here's a suggestion. Yeah. And people who are Islamists may choose to live under Shia law. And they may choose to therefore be subjected to governments which are tyrannical in some circumstances. But those choices that they are making are usually made within parameters of their development. So as the people themselves develop themselves further in terms of education and greater levels of consciousness, they will, as a group and as generational groups, find that the governments are intolerable to be living under. The reason it's happening in those areas is because the people themselves have been kept in poverty and subjected to very negative influences. This is not true necessarily in Iran, but it is in a lot of the other Middle Eastern countries and some of the African countries. So there, in those places, what can be done is to attempt, and also we could include some of the more primitive parts of Pakistan as well in this. But when we look at how this has developed, it's because of a lack of education, and because those people have been held back in their own development. The best thing we can do is to try to help all of the world become better educated, but in a free and thoughtful way, not by trying to convince them only one way of thinking is correct. I wouldn't try to.
You were talking in terms of decades, a couple of decades earlier in the program, and what you're saying is going to take more than 10 or 20 years. We're talking centuries or something.
Yeah, it'll take that long, but the point is that if the United States goes down, we don't have a century. We may not even have a few decades. So the difference is, if the United States stays in existence and progressivism and socialism doesn't take over here, then we have a chance to become a model of the educational system I'm talking about and to leave the world without pushing or forcing and without forcing people to change their religion into a more enlightened place. But if we go, that's the end of it. I don't think there is a solution if the United States falls. The reason I'm so big about talking about the United States is not because I'm ethnocentric. I could live in any country. I'd be saying the same thing about the United States as being the leading country, and it's got to survive. It's got to survive not just as a country, but as a non-tyrannical country. And we're moving quickly in the wrong direction. That's the danger. That's the thing that's so frightening. The fact that these that a billion and a half people are living in such depressed circumstances, that is scary. It's not quite as bad as it seems, because there's a few countries where people are fairly well educated, and they're gradually forcing their governments to change to less tyrannical systems. So they're moving in the right direction. But there are large groups of people, like you said, that are Arab. Not just Arab, but they're Muslims, and that are moving in a very negative direction towards a radicalized, more radicalized form of Islam, that where Shia law is becoming dominant in every aspect of every kind of life. It's being used by those governments to oppress and eventually to control in a completely tyrannical way the populations, and then to wage a war on others to do the same. I mean, it's like a disease almost. You can look at it as kind of like this is the disease that's moving across some parts of our world. I agree with you there, and yeah, it's hard for us to stay focused with our heads up. But I can tell you, Herb, that the answer is here. It's here in the U.S. It's not overseas. I know that everybody's looking overseas and watching what's happening there, but the real danger is right here, right now. If this country goes, I don't think we do have 100 years. I don't think we maybe have even 50. Then we've got some real serious problems that may not be solvable, and we souls will all be going to different worlds. Some of us may say, well, that was enough of Earth. But, you know, others will lament that this was a great opportunity to find a way to strike at the heart of evil, and we really screwed it up, and we just didn't do it right. And that will,
do you have any suggestions for another planet right now if we don't make it?
Well, you know,
reincarnate, I want to pick the right place this time.
Well, you'll be in your soul's consciousness at the time with a bunch of other souls. And, you know, at that point, you'll choose if you want to stay here or leave, or if there is any here to stay. I mean, if the planet itself is just wiped out, you know, if a big rock comes and knocks us off, you know, out of existence, then we'll all be naturally going someplace else. But it is, I mean, I would look at it from the standpoint that it isn't as bad as maybe it sounds in everything I presented in just tonight's show alone. Because I've had other shows where I've talked about the other alternatives, and we haven't finished tonight's show either. But the point is that we do have options. The options are to make sure we don't lose the light here. It's the United States. It's up to us. And I'm trying to make sure that people understand that we all have the responsibility. And this is not like we weren't born in the United States. We aren't living here. Or we didn't come here in immigration just so that we could have a nicer car or house. We are here because this is the most important place to be right now in this world. And this world is a really important place to be, even though it's so primitive and miserable. So there's a lot of good things to be considering here, but we have to get over our fears and any depression. Are you hearing me? No depression. Got to get over those fears. And you got to be saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because this is so important. We've got to do what needs to be done now.
So the whole key, as you say, is right here and now.
Right here and now. That's it, Herb.
Doing anything of, you know, positive or virtuous. But
my heart goes out to you and all the people you feel for who are overseas and who are suffering tremendously. It's more than... It is more than probably 1.5 billion worldwide. It's not all just people who are Muslims. It's a large number of people who are being forced in through tyranny in various ways. It's probably about, I'd say, half of the population of the planet in the 3 billion range plus that are under this kind of system. And that's the thing that's so frightening. And we all need to be looking at, well, do we want this or do we want to make a statement and stop it? Stopping it here will make a gigantic difference. And if we can reverse what's happened in the last few years in the United States, and it's been going on for 100 years in the United States, then we can make some real changes everywhere. We need to be the example. You and I, all of us, need to be an example.
It's okay. Not easy, because I get into a lot of arguments with my supposed liberal friends, but I do my best.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of them about 6 months ago. I remember telling them that, I did have such discussions with some of your friends who called me. Okay, so listen, you take care, and I'll be glad to talk to you some more off here as well. And I think, are you coming here in a month to the Phoenix area?
No, I'm afraid my wife doesn't want to travel that far, so I'm not going to be able to make Arizona, unfortunately. But thanks for your input anyway.
Okay, you're very welcome. You take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so as I was telling Herb, when we are looking at the nature of this problem, we are looking, oh, I think we may have another, do we have another caller? Or is that just Herb hanging up? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who is this?
This is Tommy in Tennessee. How are you doing this evening now?
Great, Tommy. What can I talk to you about?
Listening to your interesting commentary there, and just thought I'd chime in with the other gentleman there and try to make a few comments here, if you had a few seconds there, a few minutes.
Go ahead.
It's all
go ahead, Tommy.
Thing. Yes. A lot of people out here nowadays talking about this stuff. It's going around, as you could well pick up on there, as a very... very lot of things going on for a very good reason, but I guess there's so many things here. I guess let me start out by saying that they haven't been talking about 2012 for thousands of years for nothing. A lot of people think that 2012 is Y2K. You don't spell 2012 like Y2K. It's two entirely different things. Oh, nothing's going to happen. Oh, the doom and gloom. It's on the minds and out there with a lot of people, and I just like to say, it's everything works out every single time when people could look at things in reverse. 2012 is a momentous occasion. However, due to the nature of what we're dealing with on the planet and the dark forces that have been running the planet to enslave mankind and this tyranny you're talking about, was our test to overcome in our consciousness. 2012 is about one thing and one thing only, the transformation of our consciousness. Your consciousness must transform from where it is right now, all of us. And that means, the way I see it, and is that despite the outward appearances that we see in our outer world, which I might add that we've all are complicit in the crime that we're complaining about, we all have participated and took part in creating the outer world with our own collective thinking. And it is that we each accept the responsibility to heal, to clean, and to clear, and to process, observe, and to acknowledge this repressed, blocked, repressed, suppressed, oppressed feelings, which is the karma that was unresolved for the ages, that each of us is like a battery, and that we do our own processing now individually so that collectively we can move the mountain in the field of consciousness only. You can't see it with your eyes, but everything is thoughts are things, and you probably know this stuff. Thoughts are things. Thoughts out manifest themselves in our outer world as matter. And with the time acceleration going on now, the thoughts will out manifest themselves at an accelerating rate, and it's not going to stop. So it is critical and seriously critical and important that each of us minds are thinking, and to keep it in a positive, light-hearted, light manner, overcome this dark evil, because the light always wins out over the dark. And the dark is simply our individual feelings that come up through us, because your thoughts are not unique to yourself. Your thoughts are trying to tell each of us an amazing story, and it's gone unacknowledged. And we're made to feel in society that we're all crazy because you've got crazy thoughts, you know. And this is not true. They trained us all, indoctrinated us all to get simple, nice little pat answers that you go around in your life with four, five, six pat little answers for everything, and you think that's it. And it's a very multiplicity, a complexity of compartmentalized, many, many multitude of things that we were never, that was, you know, covered up so that we couldn't understand our holographic nature. That there's a lot, it's everything that you think it's not, and it's not what you think it is, type of thing.
And all right, well, listen, Tommy, I'm going to have to cut you short here because
sure.
of our time constraints.
Well,
it sounds to me like you have a great concern for the coming problems that we're facing, and that you have some ideas that keeping people in a positive thought process is a good thing, because if we don't have positive thinking, we'll defeat ourselves in the process. And I would tend to agree with you in respect to that. Let me continue listening to the show and see if some of the ideas I have now about how we might proceed, because I've got to get these out before the end of the show.
Okay.
And then maybe you could give us a call back maybe next week or another time, and we can continue
right,
to
sure.
hear some of your ideas. Sure. Okay? Thank you, Tommy.
Well, very, very good. Thank you, Niles, and good job there. And I just give everybody everything's about to change for the better. That's what's happening. It's not doom and gloom. It's going to get real better very soon, and it's what's for dinner. It's heaven on earth is descending, so... not the doom and gloom story, the Illuminati or painting. It's the other way around. So thank you very much, Niles.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Care.
Okay, so the question is, as Tommy was, I think, attempting to explain, the question is, do things automatically, are they predestined to get better because there's going to be a shift in consciousness, which I would tend to agree with Tommy about, or are things going to get worse? And see... here's the point where, now, I think maybe Tommy and I are not necessarily seeing things the same way, but maybe we are, but we didn't have a chance to discuss them. And that is that I don't believe there's a destiny. I don't believe that ultimately something's going to happen one way or another because of some super force, be it God or evil, is going to make things happen. I instead... think that it's all up to each and every one of the souls represented by their incarnates here on Earth, as far as human affairs are concerned, and maybe the rest of the planet as well. So what I'm suggesting here is that the future is not written. The idea that 2012 is going to be some kind of climatic year in terms of some forms of consciousness being affected. I think there is some truth to that, but it's more based upon certain limited aspects of the science of the rays, and I don't want to go into those tonight. But that doesn't change the outcome. So to me, the idea of predestination is not in accordance with free will. If you followed what I said earlier in the show, and hopefully, Tommy, if you're continuing to hear what I'm saying, I hope you heard the beginning of the show. If God is choosing for all of us to have free will, because in order for we to grow, and we to grow as a part of God, and effectively growing God, because God gives up that right for itself by giving us free will, if we have free will, then we can't have predestination. Even predestination that says everything's going to turn out fine. Nor can we have predestination everything's going to go to hell. There can't be either kind of form of predestination. So in looking at those two differences of thought, we have to look at the bigger picture in terms of what is the nature of God. If we come to a disagreement about that, then I guess someone could say, well, if God is a predestining being, who has everything sorted out and determined, then our lives become somewhat superfluous, and all life might, and then we're kind of in the puppet show of God. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't think that. It doesn't make any sense to me. But if it makes sense to someone, that's okay. They can think that predestination is part of the system. Rather, I see this as a system that is yet to be written and yet to be done. And it's up to all of us to make the changes necessary to do those things. So I thank Tommy for bringing all of our attention to this debate, because it is a debate. As he said when he hung up, well, I don't necessarily agree with you, but he did so very graciously, and I appreciate that. Disagreeing with me is fine. The interesting part about this is that it draws our attention to this really big question. Why is this going on? It's going on because we have free will. It's going on because evil has free will, even though it is evil, and it wants to destroy free will. It's the strangest thing. Evil, if it were to completely destroy free will, would cease to exist itself. That's the strangest part about all of this. So how do we get out of this? How do we solve the problem? Well, I was talking to her before Tom. And the answer is about the leading countries, the United States being the head of that leading countries, but there's about a dozen or so leading countries. Those leading countries need to win against the darkness of tyranny. And they need to do so by the free choices, the free will, and the liberty that presently does exist, even though we're losing it by the day, in those countries. Those countries then become the shield for all of the other countries that really don't have a chance right now to change. And as Herb said, there could be decades. It may not be till the middle or end of the century for some of them. I agree with you. But they have a chance then. They have a chance because we will provide them with the shield. The shield is light. The shield is our consciousness over theirs, showing them things they can't see because they are in such a peril from their unfortunate dictatorial overseers, their governments, their religion, who are forcing them to live and think and be in a certain way. We are the answer. And if we don't succeed, and particularly the United States, then the whole system goes. The reason I am so adamant about this isn't because I live in the United States. If I lived at the South Pole, if I lived in another planet, I'd be giving the same exact talk tonight about this, saying the same things. It's not because I'm here. I am here, and hopefully I can do something about it, and we can do something about it, and all those I know can do something about it, and we're trying. No, we don't believe in predestination. We don't think that predestinedly either the Earth is going to be destroyed, as some people think, or that huge numbers of other people are going to just suddenly become bathed in light and the whole world's going to change around that way, too. I don't believe either one of those, because I don't believe in predestination. I believe in free will. It's up to us, and it's going to take some tremendous efforts. But we'll do it. We can do it. I hope we'll do it. And I'll do everything I can to make sure I'll do it. And, you know, in looking at this whole doctrine issue, I don't follow a certain, we'll say, doctrine of any particular group. I know that some people might hear things that sound like, oh, that's like them, or that's like... What I'm talking about is a cosmology and ontology, sometimes referred to as ageless wisdom, but it is represented in many different ways, including the founding of the Constitution of the United States. But it's also in many others. And some people might say, well, they were Freemasons, so you must be a Freemason. No, I'm not a Freemason. And he said the Illuminati. Well, that's some of that had ageless wisdom in it, and some of it didn't. Some of Freemasonry has ageless wisdom in it. Some of it didn't. Ageless wisdom is a kind of cosmology and a philosophy, ontology. But it is not a specific way of understanding a specific set of facts. So it's important to recognize that where I'm coming from is not from that way, but rather from looking at it from a perspective of free will. And whatever provides liberty, I see as being towards the light. And whatever destroys the liberty, I see as moving towards darkness. And of course, I don't know if Tommy or some of you heard the first part of the show where I explained all that. That's why I do that. I when I do the beginning of a show, I try to make it so that what I'm going to say future will not be misunderstood. But I can't guarantee that. And it's okay if it is. Hey, listen, you could always re-listen the same show, right? So what I'm trying to say is we have the options, if we choose to take them, to solve this problem. And those living in the most advanced in consciousness countries, which includes the United States, need to be most careful in doing the most they can right now. Because this is when the time is going to make a difference. We fail now. 10 years from now, it will be too late. Not because the whole world's going to completely dissolve in 10 years, but because to reverse what has been done will take longer than the time we'll have left. But I'm not saying that's where we're headed. I'm trying to do the opposite. You say I want to prevent that from taking place and hope that we will not head anywhere near that. So for a final thought, I would like you to consider this. To get to the foundation of yourself, try to get to the foundation of how you see God. How you see God is how you're going to live your life. If God is a being of absolute thoughts and absolute dictates, and there is predestination in everything, everything is predetermined, and I'm not talking about karma now. Karma is a different thing. Karma is, to me, a very real thing, but it's not predestination. Then change to thinking more about things in my particular venue. If you come to the conclusion that God really is some absolutist who has already decided the outcome of virtually, or of, I would presume, everything, then ask yourself several questions. I'll name them very quickly because I'm running out of time here. Number one, what does that mean in terms of the meaningfulness of each life, especially each human life? And what does it mean in terms of God's meaning in its existence and its relationship, third, to all of life, and especially human life? Ask yourself those questions and see what kind of answers you get. And then maybe send me an email. We can have a talk about it that way, or you can even call me. I am available. Okay, we're out of time for right now. I hope this show has been thought-provoking, and has given people some concerns for our future and the realization we can make changes and can do something about it. Okay, so I want you all to also consider doing something about this very narrow issue but very important one about vitamin C and the ability to get it from a licensed physician, which you won't be able to do, and try to do something about the FDA. The FDA is becoming the real, most severe, tyrannical part of our government. It's not the only thing, but it's up there in the top 4 or 5, and it's certainly a nasty, nasty organization, nasty part of the government. Needs to be drawn in. I would like to see it dismantled and made into an educational kind of unit rather than a regulatory. Okay, until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.